Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cuck My Life podcast. Thank you for joining us. This is where we talk everything cuckold, real stories, real guests, and real cucks. I'm poor little white boy, also known as Pope, and I'm joined by my good friends and fellow cucks, Yossi Cuck and Hopeful. In today's episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about porn versus reality. There's some things maybe you should not be trying at home. Hope you'll enjoy listening to us.
She referred to my penis as a little clit, and I did not expect to like that, but I fucking did.
On her Twitter and on the porn, it's always like the guy with the 12-inch cock. Porn that's in that cuckold, hot wife, FLR world. It's fun sometimes. She's rough with her cup. You know, she's like, your tiny dick never satisfies me. I got this big man.
The little things that they say about us and to our parts, those are the things that drive us wild.
There's no wrong way to have sex, and there's no wrong way to watch porn either, as long as it's ethical.
Put my hand up and speak for all cucks in the entire world who has ever seen their wives being fucked by someone else. Porn doesn't do it any justice.
Enjoying that is, you know, gateway for the devil to gain a foothold in life.
If I went and looked at porn, it would give me a very skewed sense of maybe what I should or shouldn't do.
The jam, the coolness of this lifestyle is women that are sexually empowered to ask for what they want, not accept what they don't want. That's what we did. I'm going to say proudly that these guys wanted me to talk about porn. The guys in this podcast were a little bit interesting because we've lived both. We've seen a lot of the things that they show in porns. We've seen things like the, you know, sort of the humiliation, some of the stereotypes that you see when you look at porn that's in that cuckold, hot wife, FLR world. And it's fun sometimes, but a lot of it doesn't really reflect a lot of the things that experience in our day-to-day lives. And I would love to tap in a little bit with Hopeful here and tell us about the activities you've been involved in this morning that are like a huge part of your lifestyle, but have nothing to do with pornography.
Thank you. First, let me just say, it's early in the morning while we're recording this podcast where I am. And I've been up since about 5. The first thing I did was let the dogs out, feed them, take care of them, while she's sleeping in, of course. Then I put on a podcast. I was actually listening to Venus, and she was talking to Crystal Welch, and I'm a big fan of Crystal Welch. I love the way she talks about this lifestyle, and I love the way she talks about her cuck, right? I love it. She is always effusive about how much she loves her cuck and how much he loves her and how positive and engaging their relationship is. While I was listening to that, I was on my hands and knees in the bathroom, cleaning the floor, cleaning around the base of the toilet, scrubbing the toilet with bleach, washing the walls of the shower, scrubbing the tub, made sure the mirror was streak-free. Then when I was done with that, I mopped the floor. Then I came out into the living room, lifted up furniture, put things aside, swept everything to absolute perfection, I hope. Because before I went to bed last night, she told me after I did these chores, she was going to inspect and then help me with correction if I made any mistakes. Now, that ain't porn. Cleaning the bathroom ain't porn. But that was my responsibility this morning as her cuckold. And by the way, the whole time I was doing that, locked as fuck. Locked as fuck. We are 13 days in.
Still in that cage where you belong. I mean, have you got...
Well, we're supposed,
it's never
to be,
coming
we're
off, man.
To be doing,
that's it.
So you know that we played a lot with chastity for a long time, and then we went through some real life stuff where we didn't do it for a year and a half. This is literally my first time in since October of 22. We are supposed to be doing a 2-week challenge. We're on day 13, but the time I'm supposed to be on lock tomorrow, she's not going to be here. So I don't
know.
That's
convenient.
I don't know. Like, she hasn't talked about letting me out. She hasn't discussed me being in chastity other than make sure I have to send her a picture of her property every day. But we have not talked about a release date. And I absolutely categorically refuse to ask, because I feel like that will get the opposite reaction.
So you should definitely ask.
So let me ask this, Hopeful. It sounds like I can see your face. It sounds like you're kind of enjoying this, living in that zone of uncertainty there.
Oh, let's be clear. When we discussed chastity, her and I said to her, because we hadn't done it in a while, right? We're back to having fun. We're back to talking about what our lifestyle is, what our relationship is going to look like. And I'm super excited about that. I mentioned Venus earlier, and I'm an occasional listener, not a frequent listener, but an occasional listener. I like what she does. She was talking with Key Barrett, the author of Locked in Love, and they were doing a 2-week challenge, Valentine's Day, February 1st to Valentine's Day. Before that challenge arrived, I brought it up to Mistress Tatiana. I said, hey, they're doing this thing, and I'm just curious if you would be willing to engage in chastity with me again, because it's a lot of responsibility for her. It's a lot. We talked about it a little bit. And she said yes. And then we had another sudden emergency. I had to travel away. And so we didn't enter into it on that February 1st. When I came home, I didn't bring it up. She did. She said, I'm ready for this to happen now. And I said, yes, ma'am, because I obey. We put it back on, and it fits like a glove, like nothing, like, no time has passed at all.
And do you think you would have grown? Was that you thought maybe you've gotten bigger in this period of time? That's a good joke. I love it.
When we talk in a couple of minutes, I'm going to tell you that for the first time in a relationship, she referred to my penis as a little clit. And I did not expect to like that, but I fucking did. I absolutely loved it.
Nice.
That was all new, and it was fucking fire on my scalp. When she put it back on me, we were talking about how long and blah, blah, blah. And she said, well, we had agreed to 2 weeks. And what I said to her when she said that was, I appreciate that, man, but that's not what I'm asking you for. I'm asking you to be in control. I'm asking you to decide when, where, how. I am giving this gift to you because I appreciate and respect the relationship that we're developing, and I want to be locked for you at your discretion. No pressure. You do whatever you want. I will obey.
I love that.
I think this is one of those great, great sides of the lifestyle, which, as per what the topic is, maybe we'll veer back on topic, is
we'll get there.
This is reality. Right, like this is the reality part. And the reality part is that the thing that goes, that what goes through our minds and how our partners treat us and what they do, what they say, the little things that they say about us and to our parts, those are the things that drive us wild. Now, look, that is just not the sort of thing that you can reflect in porn. So I get it. But I think the difference is that what it is that they're trying to achieve out of porn is not really what we're trying to achieve in real life. Yeah, there is an aspect of that. And there are some scenes, and I would probably put my hand up and speak for all cucks in the entire world who has ever seen their wives being fucked by someone else. Porn doesn't do it any justice. It is the most mind-blowing thing that you've ever seen in your entire life. If you're a man and you like porn, which I think covers quite a large subsection of the male population, You have not ever seen anything until it's your partner slash wife in the scene. It is incredible.
Well, here's one of, as Hopeful was kind of telling us about this, I feel like on the Twitter machine, there was some kind of some recent discussion between some of the people that were involved in, you know, some people in that kind of chastity cuckolding world, where someone described their FLR as like basically in a female-led relationship, the woman kind of decides everything. And it's up to her, and if she wants to lock you in chastity, and if you've given her your FLR stuff, then you have no choice in that. I felt like that person had gotten so into the sort of this fantasy of giving up control and, you know, I'm at her mercy and that kind of stuff. And these are those things that sound really fun, but they're kind of not things that work in real life. I feel like sometimes porn is kind of like the Marvel superheroes. There's going to be some stuff in there that's not stuff real people can do. For instance, you know, we talk a little bit about the humiliation, the little clit kind of stuff. And man, I love some of the scenes that, you know, the woman is very she's rough with her cock. You know, she's like, oh, your tiny dick never satisfies me. I've got this big man. Why can't you fuck me like this guy and stuff like that? And it's fun to show in a porn where they've got like three people that are, I'm air quoting, acting, right? These are not people that are in a loving relationship. There's some different things, and I think they have to kind of paint with a really broad brush, and instead of like the little real life humiliation stuff, they've got to go really, you know, they've got to say 800 things. If you experience, you know, 1% of some of that in real life, and it's 1,000 times more satisfying than it over the top exaggerated things that you might see in a, you know, in a scene.
Okay, so this is the Aussie cuck, right? So I didn't introduce myself earlier, but this is who I am. I have never been a big watcher of cuckold porn. It has come across, you know, my searches or whatever, but it was just something that, I don't know, to me, cuckold porn is my wife. Like, I don't know, if it doesn't have my wife in the scene, I'm like, okay, I don't know who this woman is. I have no vested or connected interest in this person. What do I care? They could label it something else and call it, like, you know, stepson and something or other, and they could relabel it and be the exact same video. And I'm pretty sure they do that anyway.
They do,
right?
Do
they
it.
Just relabel videos constantly just to much. See how many clicks they get. So to me, it never, it
they,
actually,
like, they have these very large extended step families. It's really weird.
Yeah, that's right. So look, I've never really been into it like that. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's hard for me to connect with it. But I can see, and this is why I'm sort of coming around to it, is like, who's it for? Is cuckold porn for single straight men that maybe feel a little bit insecure, or they feel a bit like they can't pleasure their woman, or that they're, I don't know, is that there's something about them men wanting to see another man be humiliated, and that's what they're into.
The studio stuff, the stuff that is produced by like Cuckold Sessions or Dog Fart, and listen, there's value in that stuff. It's still an art form. I appreciate those actors and actresses and the fact that they are at least calling attention to this lifestyle on some level, but it's just so ridiculous to think that at some point in your life, you're going to walk into your house and your wife's going to be there with some big dicked guy telling you this is what your life is now, blah, blah, blah. That stuff doesn't happen, right? You don't get into this lifestyle because your wife decides she's going to have a bigger dick without talking to you about it. This lifestyle is about communication. It's about sharing deep-seated fantasies and desires, and it's about being vulnerable with another human being. It's not about shitting on somebody. My wife doesn't humiliate me because she doesn't love me. She does it because she knows I get a charge out of it, because it turns me on. That's reality, right? Our relationship is about communication. It's about trust. It's about caring for each other and making each other better in a million ways, in ways that we have discussed, we appreciate. It's not about being dismissive or mean or nasty to me. It's about giving me the things that make my temperature go up, if that makes sense.
Very well said. One thing I'd love to talk about, and this is just a thing that I experienced, we'll probably talk about more in the future, but I grew up in a very, you know, kind of conservative religious environment. And I also discovered kind of porn at a pretty early age, because I'm a guy, it's around. One of the things that weirdly interplayed with a lot of my porn use and stuff, some other activities to where I ended up like in a 12-step group for sex and love addicts and that kind of thing, is shame-based. And I think that there's a lot of... So when you're a person, a human who enjoys porn, but has also been told that enjoying that is, you know, a gateway for the devil to gain a foothold in your life and that kind of stuff, you've kind of got these multiple dopamine rushes. You've got the rush, the excitement of I'm enjoying my body and these fantasies and everything. And then it's immediately followed by this massive amounts of shame. One thing that I found about that is that that's a self-reinforcing cycle. And it was weird. I got philosophically to a point where I said, you know what? I kind of realized, I was like, basically every guy that I know, like if you make a joke about Pornhub, every guy that I knew, I mean, I'm talking guys, you know, church group guys, whatever, they all know what it is, because every one of them at some point has snuck in a bathroom or whatever. And I really, basically, I don't know, through lots of other stuff, I was able to let go of some of that shame, and it really affected my porn viewing habits, just because I was able to sort of see it as just a, like, not capitalized T thing, but a lowercase T thing. If any of y'all ever kind of been in that world of experiencing shame related to your masturbation and that kind of stuff?
Talking about shame is, look, and it's certainly almost a subject in itself, and it's actually a good one, but I think we've all, us men, and we do experience shame, you know, from a sexual point of view, throughout our lives, right? So, and I think men develop a lot of fantasies quite early, and we have a lot of things that I think there's so much environmental stuff, and then you know what? Sometimes it can just be the smallest thing that just happened to grace our eyes or our ears when we were a certain age, and it was impressionable, and your brain was on record, and it goes in, and now that is just stuck in your head for whatever reason. Who knows what that is? And oftentimes, especially with kinks, they have that kink is the reason why it kinks, is because this is the straight and narrow, and you've kinked off to the side. You've done this sort of, you know, this kink down where you've gone into a realm that you are excited by, but it is now, it's also making you feel shameful, because if other people knew, if anyone else knew that you loved or you liked to watch those things, then you would feel shame.
If the internet has done anything really well, one of the things that it's done is prove that we're all a little divergent. There's no right way to have sex. There's no wrong way to have sex, as long as everybody is a grown-up and consents. There's no wrong way to have sex. And there's no wrong way to watch porn either, in my opinion, as long as it's ethical. And that's my biggest concern with when I choose porn to watch. And I'm not the best at this, but I try to choose porn that is homemade by people who are clearly enjoying what they're doing. I try to, and I don't know that I'm always perfect at that, but that's the stuff that I try to find, because I want to feel good. I don't feel shame about my sexual desires in that way, but I don't want to contribute to somebody else's misery.
Yeah, I've been somebody who's had a possibly outsized interest in the porn industry, you know, I've kind of followed it for a long time. It can be a tough place for women. It's not always unicorns and rainbows. And I think, you know, Hopeful mentioned that the some of the platforms out there now, and there's a lot of kind of independent women that are able to choose things that they enjoy and film them. One of the reasons it took me so long to get these desires out in the open with my wife was because I had found the things that I was interested in through pornography. I was like, you know what, this cuckold stuff, this kind of stuff just totally grinds my gears, you know, makes the little guy get a little bit bigger and that kind of thing. But I was pretty sure watching this stuff that this was people that were paid to do it. I did not realize that this was actually like a lifestyle that humans were involved in outside of being paid to film things that they were told to do.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the huge differences, right? Right up until I started, being involved in the lifestyle and being in it, I didn't realize that now we were living a subset. I'm living a category of porn. Right? It's right up until this moment, you know, vanilla as fuck. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there is a category called vanilla as fuck. Maybe there is. But to fall into something that is a sort of a kink that has those fantasy aspects around it is an interesting place, because now that I'm actually in it and I've looked around and I've seen a bit more of this porn, I'm just like, what this is not anything like what I'm doing. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. But then when we have a group of guys like these gentlemen here and the gentleman who we have in our Cut Corner, which is a chat group that we have on Twitter where there's, you know, a good number of us, you realize that we're all living the life that normal, real people live, and they're enjoying their kinks and fantasies. And that's why I think with cuckolding, there's so much other stuff that comes with it, that comes around it, that surrounds it, like caging, like domination, like pegging, like... And people go, what does that shit got actually to do with cuckolding? The point is that it's when you come together and you actually communicate what it is that each other wants, more and more fantasies flower out of it, and it just, you know, propagates into whatever fantasy you want to explore. It just it goes off and off and off, and it all these sorts of things come out. Being involved with real people like you gentlemen makes this lifestyle for me not shameful. If I was just sat by myself and this started to happen and I hadn't found a group of people that are actually living it, and if I went and looked at porn, it would give me a very skewed sense of maybe what I should or shouldn't be doing.
Let me tell you, Aussie, and I mean this, I think you're 100% correct. And I think one of the reasons why we as a group within a group decided to develop this podcast was to help other men who desire this lifestyle to understand what it really is, right? One of the reasons why we started that chat group on Twitter is so that we can encourage each other, lament for each other, keep each other company when our wives are off doing whatever it is that they're doing, to remind each other that we are still 100% valuable, right? We have developed a relationship between ourselves that I think is an indicator that, first, we're all really, really vulnerable with each other. We all tell each other the truth about what life is like and what we're dealing with. And I think that, and I realize that I'm kind of off on a tangent, but I love this group. I love talking to you guys. I am so grateful for your influence, because just like you said, Aussie, being around you makes me realize that I'm a normal person. We are not weak men, none of us. I am extremely respected in my field. I have a whole bunch of people who look up to me. I'm a leader outside of my house. Inside my house, I'm definitely a follower. But outside of my house, I am definitely a leader. And I know you both are too. It is such a joy to come home from my incredibly stressful job and know that my number one responsibility, when I walked in the door last night, she had just come out of the shower. She was in her robe. And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And she said, "Is that how you greet me?" And I said, "No, ma'am." And she put her foot out. And within, I wasn't in the house for 10 seconds. And I was on my hands and knees kissing her foot. Because she demanded it. Yeah. Outside the house, I'm a ball of fucking fire. Inside the house, I'm a yes, ma'am, I obey, dude. And I appreciate having you men to share that experience with.
So I think one of kind of my experiences from being like way down the porn rabbit hole and then sort of climbing out to a world of like, let's put some of these kinks that I have into real life. You realize just the kind of the amazing vividness of, one, having a partner where you can say, man, I'm really into this thing, and I think you might think it's a little freaky, but I'd like to just be honest with you and tell you about it. And two is with a real human person that you have a relationship with, you know, talking about those things and working out ways that they would feel good for both of you. And I think sometimes when you're on your own or you're interacting with people that are in the space for commercial gain in some way, you miss some of that. And I feel like your fantasies end up going down the rabbit hole so hard.
Some of this, I get quite a few people that come to me on Twitter and just sort of go, "Oh, so, you know, what's Eve and Eve's my wife? Like, what's her OnlyFans? Have you got like links where you like share, you know, nude pictures and that sort of stuff?" I'm like, no. That's kind of not what we, that's not what we do. That's not what she wants. That's not what we do. The reason why we are on Twitter is so that we do like to tell, we do like to sort of spread the word about sort of what we do and how we do it and that sort of stuff. And we're trying to be open and honest with things that are actually happening. And, you know, if you get the odd troll that comes in that thinks by what you put on Twitter is exactly what's happened in your entire life, which is hilarious. But, you know, we try and broadcast some good things, some bad things, some challenges, some, you know, some great things, you know, and that's the way that it is in real life with what we do. And it actually just made me realize that this topic is actually the porn versus reality is more like a match. We're clearly in the reality camp, right? And I don't want to sound preachy, but I think we are kind of preaching a little bit here that if you love what you see in that kind of porn, wait till you see the jujubes that we've got over in reality. Like, it's real good over here, okay? And look, this is the trick, right? It's if you have the strength to look at yourself and the things that you like and the fantasies that you have, if you can see past maybe your shame and your masculinity and your pride and any of those sorts of things that would, maybe you've been told your whole life, men don't talk about that shit, so you don't talk about it. If you can see past that and have a conversation with your wife about it, you may open up the biggest adventure of your entire life with your wife, the woman or man, obviously, with whom you love. So I'm all in the reality camp. You've got to give it a crack. You only have one life. Like, watching the porn is great, but if you actually just maybe give it a try, she might just take a dive off the top, you know, platform and go straight into it. I don't know.
I love that.
I also think it's important not to expect her to dive right into it.
No. I was lucky.
And I appreciate exactly what you're saying, Aussie. If you want to be in this lifestyle the way all of us wanted to be in this lifestyle before we were in it, you have to approach your partner with honesty and a willingness to be patient. And I think this is something we'll talk about in more depth on another episode, but it's important to remember that your partner is not a kink dispenser, right? That you can't just go to her and say, this is what I want, this is how I want you to do it, blah. Like, if you are lucky enough to be one of those people who has a partner who is capable of being the leader in an FLR, you can ask her to lead, but you can't tell her how to do it. And that's, and it will take time, and you're going to have to be vulnerable and completely honest about who you are and reduce your expectations if you want to be happy. And that's something that I'm still learning as I'm on my FLR journey. Reducing my expectations has not been easy.
Yeah, that sounds like a good kind of topic for another day too, right?
I think we will talk about that in another episode. But it does fit in here. If we're talking about porn versus reality, you have to understand that those porn stars, those people who are doing that, they're professional athletes. That's Major League Baseball. You got to start with stickball, man.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and look, I think we look at what we see in porn, and I feel like, and you know, in your case, hopefully, you know, if you're watching some what you believe to be or are real couples, right, that are doing this and have been doing it for some time, I can categorically guarantee you that that is not how they started. Their fantasies, they're taught, like, her sexual empowerment, I can guarantee you where you're at that point of watching, that's not where they started. So it really takes a long time. And I'll just give you some personal proof of that. When I first met my wife, it was in high school, right? And at that time in high school, she had a boyfriend. And so we met in year 11, right? So we were like 16. And she had been with this guy already for 5 years, right? Long-term boyfriend. Met me. I was like, oh, no, I think I'd rather be with you. And so I spent the next 4 years, right, trying to win her affection and her heart. And eventually I obviously did. But she
of
went
course you
from,
did.
Yeah, come on.
Handsome bastard.
I couldn't help it. All my friends were like, would you shut the fuck up about this girl? I'm like, all right, but I'm going to, you know, one day. Anyway, so that was her complete sexual history. One guy in teens and then me. So now, just to fast forward quite a while. So she now is married to me. She has a boyfriend. She's talking with a woman about possibly starting some sort of bi relationship because she's curious about it. She's talking about wanting to get into a poly relationship type dating apps. She's talking about introducing another guy into the bedroom with her boyfriend as well, and she's into thinking about threesomes and it's this line of sexual empowerment where she has just grown so much to be able to enjoy so much wide variety. Now, if I had have just been that husband that was like, no, we're not doing this, it's just me, I'm the only one that you're going to be with, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to limit people's capability? Let them fly, let them be free. And I can say the women that are the quiet, unassuming ones, the ones that have probably been shunned for their, you know, any kind of sexual talk or empowerment from, you know, from whatever establishment or family or whatever it happens to be, those are probably the ones that are desperate to break out of their shell.
Let me just say this, boss. I love your story. I've watched you. We've been friends now for about 4 years, and I've watched your growth and her growth, and it is astonishing just to watch her Twitter profile. From when she entered Twitter to where she is now, she went from, I want to say, meek and quiet to she's just a fucking power broker now, man. She is just a a total badass with threads about who she is and what she believes. She's really amazing. And it is such a pleasure to see you talk about her because your eyes light up. Like you just, and I know that you guys are in constant discussion about what works and what doesn't work. And this is a lifestyle of communication, but like you, my motto is let go and let Tatiana.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I think, I think we've backed our way into one of the things that's really like, when you boil down a lot of this stuff about, I think all of us are people who really dig our wives being sexually satisfied, right? And we dig them being empowered and being able to make those choices on their own. And you know, it's amazing when my wife has kind of experienced, you know, and played with people and she's been able to say, you know what, I liked what so-and-so did, but, you know, and hey, do you want to go talk about big dicks versus small dicks? That's a porn topic that we had, and this, I'm segueing into it right now. But, you know, she's experienced sort of some really nice big dicks, some amazing, big dick is such a random topic, right? And guys, you know, you'll see the guys on our Twitter and on the porn, and it's always like the guy with the 12-inch cock and the, you know, we have a Isaiah Maxwell dildo that's massive. Most guys, even most guys that are, you know, we enjoy the company of African-American gentlemen or African gentlemen or black men, however you want to say it, 8 to 10 inches is really good sized and it works for her. You know, size is fun.
Yeah, so Eva's as well, but you know what? It's again, it's that journey thing. You know, and, you know, we kind of came at this from an angle where I thought, you know, like, I didn't even think that I was really small. You know, there's really small and then there's just sort of small and kind of a bit below average. Felt like I was a little bit below average, but only a little bit. It really still comes down to, I think, the way that you use it and your ability to use it. Right, and whether or not you have any dysfunction in that area, because you know Eva's got some, we've got some big dildos and we've got, you know, some small ones, and they all get used, you know, at varying times, you know, and like, you know, she her boyfriend is hung like a fucking thoroughbred stallion, right? Like he is, you know, he sorts that out, but you know what, he doesn't make her come every single time just because of his the size of his dick, you know, and there's times that she doesn't with him, and it's not a problem. It's not an issue at all. It's just that it's different and depending on angles, depending on performance, how she's feeling, how things are going. And she's been with some other guys where, you know, most of the time isn't going to come on the first date, and then she can be with a guy and comes on the first date because it was something, it wasn't the size. It was how he was doing it, what he was doing, where, how it got to that point. It's such a broad thing. But I think in porn, it's just so easy to paint that picture, right? You know, show the cuck as having, you know, being in the, you know, it's, I think it's really just about in porn, what you've got to do is paint the picture of characters. There's the cuck. He's the weak guy who's clearly upset about this with the cage on his cock. And here is the big, bull, ripped, hung guy. And here's the wife going, oh, well, I really love this guy. He's my husband. But now there's this
caricature.
Did y'all ever see the little ads for, I think it was like the Charles Atlas bodybuilding thing? And they had these little comics. You know, so the comics was like this kind of scrawny guy goes to the beach with his girlfriend. And then, you know, big stud bodybuilder guy takes the girlfriend away. And I feel like so much of the porn is that. And I think what we're trying to say, if we could, and we'll try to wrap this one up, we'll have other topics for other days, but the real, like, the jam, the coolness of this lifestyle is women that are sexually empowered to ask for what they want, not accept what they don't want. That is the real, I think, underneath all of the stuff of porn, That's what we dig, man. That's we would love our women, and we would love to see basically the women of the world empowered to say, you know what? I do like big dicks, and not be shamed for it, but to be celebrated. And you know, if that's the reality I want to live in. Before we wrap things up, final thoughts?
If there's anything great about cuckolds, it's that we may sexualize women, but we don't demean them in return for being sexual. We respect women and their ability to choose this lifestyle, and there's no shame. My partner, Tatiana, can do whatever the fuck she wants, and I will be grateful that she's happy. And that's, trust me when I tell you, porn versus reality, that shit's fucking hard, man. You have to be hardwired for it.
Just to jump up into the porn cam for just a minute, there's nothing wrong with it. If you enjoy it, if you enjoy viewing and enjoying it for your viewing pleasure, and that is just your little thing that you like to get into and enjoy, feel free. We are definitely not knocking any of that sort of stuff because I have my own sort of porn taste. Everyone has their own kind of taste in what it is that they like, and it's if it's for you, then go right ahead. But what I would say is that if you are looking at that fantasy reality and thinking, maybe this is something I would like in reality, then come talk to us and listen to us. That's why we're here.
Couldn't have said it better. I love it. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. If you have any comments on today's episode or any other episode, please reach out to us on Twitter or via email. Details are in the show notes. From the whole panel here at Cut My Life, take care and see you next time.